show that looks at Kansas City baseball's past, present, and future.
High fly ball. Motley going back to the track. No outs to go. The Royals have won the 1985 World Series.
Davis comes to the plate. Strike three called. It's over. They've done it. The Royals are World Series champions. The world champion Kansas City Royals.
This is the Kansas City Baseball Vault.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome in to the Kansas City Baseball Vault, brought to you by Kelly's Westport Inn, a baseball prospectus affiliate. Folks, there are things that are happening in baseball spring training. Lots of roster shifting, and things are starting to take shape as we get closer here. Just a couple weeks now until opening day. So it's getting close, and we're starting to get a really good picture of what the lineup's going to be. We'll have some news. We'll talk about that here in a second. But first, introductions. I am Jeff Herr, and the man who needs no introduction, Michael Engel. Mike, how are you doing on this perhaps first true day of spring? I don't know if it's any cooler or warmer in Lawrence, but it was 76 degrees here today. It was fantastic. I had shorts on.
I have shorts on now. It was nice. I mean, I didn't get to go outside or anything while I was at work, but, you know, that walk from work to the car was really cool.
It's fantastic, isn't it?
It was nice. Yeah, it was nice. I don't know if it's the first day of spring or it's going to continue, but, you know, I've been fooled before, but, I mean, I'll take it. If it wants to stay 75, 76 every day for the rest of the year, I'm cool with that. I will not complain.
Ready to rock and roll on that, absolutely. So we'll just jump right in here. I think the biggest news, the biggest news of the week so far today for Royals land is, we covered Mike Moustakas. It literally happened, the signing of Mike Moustakas, on our show last week. So we covered the signing of that. But the only other news that's happened in the last week is with Jorge Bonifacio receiving an 80-game suspension for a PED violation. So, rather interesting there. Perhaps we have an answer to how Bonifacio had such a good season last year, specifically with more power than he had displayed up to that point. So, you know, I'm not drawing any crazy conclusions, but it's certainly a reasonable conclusion to make, given that he's been suspended for PEDs. So, that sucks for him. It sucks for the Royals. They were planning on him being, you know, part of this team this year, and now they have to, you know, half the season they have to kind of go on without him and figure out some other options. So, you know, it's kind of weird. This is, you know, 2 years in a row now. If you look at Mondesi, had a 50-game suspension last year for his PED violation. So, now, granted, that was in the minors, but still. And, you know, I mean, that's 2 years in a row the Royals have had kind of a major player be suspended with PED violations. So I don't know what that says, if anything. Probably nothing. You know, players are always – seems like they're always going to be trying to kind of stay ahead of the curve, trying to get that edge. And so, you know, it could be anybody, could be any team. Who knows, really? But one thing we do know is that Jorge Bonifacio will not be playing for the first half of the season for the Royals, and he or any team, really, if the Royals decide that. I don't know if the Royals could even cut him loose at this point. I don't know if that's allowed, but so now the right field situation, as we kind of talked about last week, in terms of, you know, the Royals, these things just kind of working themselves out. Well, right field situation has kind of worked itself out. Looks like it's going to be Jorge Soler to start the season in right field. So that was kind of my intimation when I heard that news. Like, that, you know, it sucks because it could mean that possibly Bonifacio in the future, you know, maybe last year was an aberration and it was, you know, artificial due to stuff that he was taking. So that would suck, but then also that the Royals are down a player that they were you know, had at least some level of confidence in that they thought they knew what they could get, and, you know, no longer. So that was kind of my first inclination there was, okay, now it's Jorge Soler's time. He's 100%. He's getting the – and he was probably going to start the season at DH, I would think, anyway. So he's still going to get the at-bats, but now he's going to be out in the field. So we'll see how it goes. I mean, is that kind of your read on the situation too?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like that, you know, like you said, it kind of works itself out. You end up at a point where, okay, Bonifacio is on the restricted list now. So right field is wide open. Jorge Soler has no options. They've got a lot invested in him. They've talked so much about how they want to get him 500 at-bats at least. Well, this is a way to do it. And it also clears up what might happen with Chesler Cuthbert, because with the signing of Moustakas and also even with the signing of Lucas Duda a couple weeks ago, that put Cuthbert in a spot where, you know, he was looking like he'd be the everyday third baseman or at least have a really good shot, definitely the front runner for it. Then they signed Moustakas, and, well, that kind of puts him out. Well, literally the day that the Royals announced the Moustakas signing officially, the corresponding 40-man move was Jorge Bonifacio to the restricted list, which opened up that spot for Moustakas. So now, I guess, you know, along with Soler playing a lot more right field, that also puts Cuthbert in a position to DH a little bit more. You know, that maybe Lucas Duda is spelled every now and then by Cuthbert against, like, left-handers when a tough lefty's starting. So that kind of puts the Royals in a spot where, hey, now they can find those at-bats. But, you know, those are at least kind of like, you know, bright side things related to the
silver
situation.
Linings, if you will.
Yeah, yeah. But, like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's really disappointing that it happened to Bonifacio because he had such a good year last year, and, you know, maybe this was why, maybe not. We've noted that, hey, he looked a lot stronger when we saw him at a couple of the televised games, and he seemed to be hitting the ball really hard and things like that. So, I mean, maybe that's the tell. I don't know. But no matter what, I mean, he misses half a season. He's not going to be able to build the same way on the season he had last year where he hit 17 homers in 113 games. So, you know, one of those guys that I think the Royals were excited to see, he was, you know, along with Cuthbert, along with Soler, he was somebody that Ned Yost had mentioned about, you know, that 500 at bat mark. You know, obviously now that's going to be difficult for him to do, but, you know, I mean, it's 80 games. You know, it seems like it's one of those things that they were pretty much sure it was going to happen. At least with Mondesi's, there was an appeal, and it went from 80 games to 50. But there were also circumstances about, well, this was, you know, a more rare, you know, substance. You know, it was something that, yeah, maybe it was in this cold medicine, which was kind of the excuse / reason that Mondesi had tested for it. But if there was an appeal, we never heard about it. And it kind of seems like with the timing, the Royals probably knew how it would have, you know, ended up and just kind of, you know, went with it and let the sentence fall as it needed to. So, I mean, that's disappointing to kind of see what happens there. You know, another kind of impact of that is it maybe makes it so that one of Tyler Collins or Michael Saunders end up making the team out of spring training. Both of those guys are on minor league deals. Saunders has hit pretty well. Collins has actually played pretty well, and their numbers are pretty similar. You know, Ned Yost seems to really like Tyler Collins, calls him his type of player. He's got that gritty veteran thing to him. He can play center field. He's not really good at center field, but he can play it. Saunders more of a right field guy, so that could be something that, you know, maybe he's a left-handed platoon split with Soler if he were to make the team. Both of those guys would need to be added, you know, to the 40-man roster. So, you know, that's, you're probably only looking at one of those, but, you know, you also look at Paulo Orlando probably gets a little bit more playing time. The signing of John Jay took him out of a lot of playing time. So, you know, if they need to spell Soler or if he needs to come in as a defensive replacement, that's probably the role he fills. As long as he can get healthy, he's kind of got a hamstring thing happening. So a lot of ramifications up and down the roster, including, you know, non-roster invitees and guys who were kind of looking for a spot and guys who had a spot and got pushed out. So it's a pretty big news item for the Royals. The other thing that I've kind of thought about, I saw an article by Eno Saris on The Athletic, and he was talking about how players perform when they come back from those suspensions. And in most cases, there is a drop in production. And maybe some of that is due to, you know, they're coming off a suspension. They haven't been playing regularly when they normally would be. And that impacts it. Or maybe it's, you know, whatever they were suspended for was a key part of their improvement. You know, hopefully that's not the case, but, you know, it's definitely possible.
Yeah, and just to interject a little on that point, you know, I was kind of thinking as we were discussing it too, because it's 80 games, but, you know, it's actually more than 80 games because you're not going to just be put right back into the lineup day one after the suspension. You're going to do your essentially like a rehab stint, you know, down in the minors just to get back in the flow of everything and you know, take some live at-bats, et cetera. So, you know, 80 games turns into probably closer to 90 games to get them back ready to go. So, you know, it's and just to kind of further that point of and that's interesting. I hadn't read that article, but that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And, you know, there are definitely outliers. There are guys who continue to be good and guys who, got even better. But for the most part, it was, you know, players didn't do as well. And, you know, maybe that won't matter because Bonifacio is only, you know, what, 24 years old. He'll turn 25 this year, I think. So you know, maybe he's young enough that, you know, he's just part of that approach towards his peak. And that's a big part of his numbers. He's always been highly touted as a prospect. So, I mean, his numbers weren't surprising last year. They were just very fortunate and, you know, made people kind of, you know, pay attention to what he had done because he kind of was a post-hype prospect sleeper type guy. So, you know, that's definitely something to watch when he comes back, which will probably be in, you know, July, maybe August. I mean, you know, the Royals definitely want to get him in there. But, yeah, like you said, he's going to have to spend a little bit of time back in the minors before he comes back. I think he can start that before the actual suspension is lifted, but I might be incorrect on that.
Okay, I guess.
So,
you know, now that you say that, that does sound right.
So it might be like a run start.
Okay, yeah.
But it's not like he's going to be playing in the minors through the duration of it. I think he gets like 10 days or maybe 15. I'll have to look that up. I didn't make a note of that. But, you know, that at least might help. But still, you know, it's not a guarantee that that's going to be enough to get him into his normal rhythm and recognition and everything, especially when he was having a good spring following up on a good year last year. So, you know, disappointing. It definitely, you know, opens some spots for other players. So, you know, I guess there's that, but you'd still rather have Bonifacio available.
Absolutely. And, yeah, I mean, that was, I think, the most telling thing. We were kind of talking about that over the weekend at Kelly's, just kind of what you mentioned about how, you know, there was no appeal and it just seemed like, you know, well, I got caught. Time to serve my time. You know, normally there's a big, and with Mondesi, as you mentioned, it was the same, you know, well, this isn't right. It was, you know, different. It wasn't actually elite or, you know, whatever the case may be, there's always some excuse and, it was something they didn't know was in something they took, et cetera,
right.
Which is a dumb excuse.
Because
every trainer in the majors will look at whatever you're taking and tell you if it's good or not. But
when you're an industry of billions of dollars with specialized staff, yeah, there's no excuse for that kind of thing to happen.
Not at all. So. But regardless, there is an excuse usually. But yeah, this I didn't really hear one.
No.
And there was no, like you said, no word of an appeal. So it was pretty much like, well, I tried and
yep.
Had a pretty decent season. So pick up the pieces and move on, I guess. So that was kind of telling there, but
yeah. Yeah, normally so, there's at least a day where they pretend like they'll appeal. No, they just just outright, okay, well, sorry.
That's the way it was.
Yeah.
So with that, the next biggest piece of news is we kind of talked about at the very beginning. The Royals had some roster moves as we start trimming down to get towards that 25-man roster. Nothing hugely surprising. A couple that are a little bit surprising, but just the list in total that we can talk about the individuals. We had Hunter Dozier, Kyle Zimmer, Heath Philmeyer, Andres Machado, Samir Duenas, Chase Valoria, Jack and Nicky Lopez, Donnie Deweese, Terrence Gore. You know, there are a couple others in there. But those are kind of the big names. So I think the biggest one is Hunter Dozier. Now, 3 weeks ago, you know, we were talking on this show, we were talking about how he was likely to start the season at first base. And, you know, if he didn't start at first base, it was maybe something where maybe they move Chester Cuthbert to DH if they have Hunter Dozier, if they have faith in him as a third baseman. And, you know, which was, I don't know if you say his natural position, but the one that he was drafted at. And, you know, with the signing of Mike Moustakas last week and then John Jay a couple weeks ago, now the, you know, both positions that he played have been filled by someone who definitely will start day one. So there really wasn't much room for him. And he did have options, as we had mentioned before, you know, whereas Chester Cuthbert does not. So Dozier kind of got kicked back down. And, you know, the other one, I think it's probably not surprising at this point, but, you know, the Kyle Zimmer, I don't know that the faith in him is what it once was, but I think there was some hope that maybe he could kind of grab a bullpen position, because the bullpen has been kind of, you know, for most of the spring has been more or less wide open, except for a couple spots. So the idea of him making it as a bullpen role coming out of spring wasn't far-fetched, but the Royals apparently do not think so, or maybe they want him to solely focus on starting, and he's going to start down the minors, you know, but he won't be starting the season with the major league team. So those are the kind of big ones to me. I mean, are those the big ones to you? Do you have any other names that jumped out at you?
Well, not too surprising. Barlow, I think, was doing enough to kind of stick around, but, you know, he may be somebody that they want to see start in Omaha, and if that's the case, he wasn't going to be getting the innings. As you know, over the next 2 weeks, we're going to see more and more of the Royals, you know, starting rotation, getting those innings, you know, which they need. They need to stretch themselves out and be ready for the start of the season. And so Barlow wasn't going to be able to get 3, 4, 5 innings an outing. He can do that on the minor league side of things. So that really is probably to his benefit. I mean, he's struck out 7 guys in 7.2 innings, only walked 1. You know, pretty good spring. But he also has, you know, after this option, he's got 2 more option years. So the Royals have plenty of time to kind of get him developed. I was a little surprised they optioned Zimmer so soon, just to maybe see if you get one more game out of him, just to kind of see him against big leaguers. But the one appearance he made, he threw 25 pitches. He got 2 outs. He walked a couple guys. He had velocity drop at the end. So, you know, it's just one of those things that if they want to manage what he can do, you know, it's a lot easier to go onto that minor league side and just, you know, just yank him when you need to, versus, you know, try to get through an inning or, you know, try to stick with the plan. They can just kind of, you know, do what they need to on that other side. That's kind of about it. I'm also kind of, just as I look over some of these, I'm interested. According to my notes, I think Samir Duenas that might be his last option here. Doesn't seem right. My notes are probably wrong there. So that's another thing I'll need to follow up on.
Yeah.
I don't remember when he was added to the 40-man. I think it was before last year.
That's interesting because, it could be because he's one of those guys that, you know, seems like he's kind of been around for a while in the organization. But one of those kind of, I guess you would call him like prospect fatigue type guys because he seems like he's been in the – yeah, but he's not like super old. I mean, how old is he? It's not like
he hasn't gone past double A, so I mean it's
– yeah.
You know, he's not – he's 22.
No. Exactly. You know, it seems, kid. But yeah.
So anyway. I'm probably wrong. I think last year was his first year on the 40 man. So he probably has just the one or just the, Anyway, ignore my point on that is what I'm saying.
Fair enough.
Not super worried and really wouldn't be worried until next year anyway, if it was his last option year. So, I think they're probably okay with that. But, yeah, Dozier is the big one. And it's kind of funny that today Ryan O'Hearn and Frank Schwindel both hit two home runs a couple days after he got optioned. So the other first base counterparts from AAA last year went out and mashed. And they both have Schwindel has hit like four homers in the last three games or something. And you know, O'Hearn is hitting pretty well. So those guys are kind of showing up. Kind of seems like, you know, now the Royals have mentioned that they want Dozier to play first base at Omaha, which is interesting because it's not his natural position. Whereas for Schwindel and O'Hearn, it is their natural position. So Schwindel should probably DH and O'Hearn is probably going to go into like left field. So that'll be a way to get all of their bats in that lineup, which is, it's a pretty good little 3-4-5 that you got there in AAA, but that way they can get Dozier the reps at first base that they kind of want to see if he can handle it. It was probably pretty ambitious and far-fetched of us to think that he was going to actually make it, but at the time he was, you know, he was penciled in as the starter. He started the first couple games there, so this spring. So he'll get his time down in Omaha, and I'm sure he'll probably swap over to third base a little bit here and there. And, you know, Schwindel and O'Hearn might play some first base, and they probably will each DH. So that's pretty interesting. But it goes back to the other thing where, you know, it's another matter of just getting the at-bats. Like, you're getting to the point now where guys are, you know, the regulars are starting to play a lot more. And trying to get their timing and trying to get the flow of a full game. And so like someone like Lucas Duda, who signed, you know, late-ish into the process, you know, that doesn't – he's going to need to get that time. Mike Moustakas is, you know, hitting in minor league intra-squad games right now, trying to just kind of get warmed up. And I think he should be in an actual lineup this weekend. But, I mean, you know, he's just been working out, hasn't been in games while everybody else has been around for – you know, 2-3 weeks. So, you know, that was going to be another impediment, you know, for Dozier because he wasn't going to get playing time over either of those corner guys. So, you know, he gets the opportunity to go hit. He was destined to be optioned eventually anyway. So, you know, it's not, the timing's fine. It also seems kind of like the Royals were fairly late in starting these cuts. Like, it just seemed like other teams were sending guys down 4 or 5 days before the Royals ever did. So that's interesting. I don't know if that points to anything or if it's just the way it worked, or they have enough of those guys who are like AAA taxi squad types that, you know, you'll probably see them in Kansas City and you might as well get a look at them all together. So, you know, that's pretty interesting. But other than that, nobody's super surprising. Maybe Andres Machado, who started the spring pitching pretty well, and then his last few outings hasn't been that great. He's, you know, perfectly fine to go back to Omaha, though. And, yeah, I mean, the non-roster guys, Scott Blewett, Foster Griffin, Chase Valo, both Lopez's, Deweys, Gore, none of those guys were probably going to crack the roster in any way. So, you know, they just go back to minor league camp. And none of those guys have to lose any options because they're not on the 40-man yet. So that's handy. That's a nice nice way to do it. You don't have to worry nice about that transaction. There. You don't have to worry about my notes being wrong.
And, of course, we have the annual Terrence Gore being sent back down. Although I shouldn't say that because what year was it that he started?
He started was that 2015? On the big league team, I think, in 2016. And
16.
Technically last year, too. I mean, I think it was that kind of that kind of paperwork thing where Dozier technically made the opening day roster and then was put on the 60-day DL, and then they called up Gore to replace him, I think, mm-hmm. is what they did. So I think that was the last cut of camp last year where he ended up making it. This year, apparently not.
Yeah.
He's also not on the 40-man roster, whereas he had been on the, you know, due to being on the 2014 and 2015 playoff teams, you know, as that pinch running specialist. So, you know, it's pretty understandable.
Terrence Gore is just amazing to me in that, I mean, the career that this guy has made for himself, given he's a one-tool player, and that one tool is probably the least valuable of all the tools if you had to rank them. And being speed, of course. But, I mean, he's turned it into probably a couple million dollars based on the big league paychecks he's probably received and a World Series ring. I mean, it's pretty crazy when you think about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, and he's still going. It seems to be improving a little bit as a hitter. So, I mean, there's something to that. I don't know if he ever ends up, you know, ever actually hitting at the big league level, but you know, he's still trying, and you know, props to the guy for that. You know, everybody loves the underdog story, and he's given it a shot, and he hit a homer last year for Omaha. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So the next thing for him is just to get to the big leagues and get his actual first base hit, because he just hasn't done that yet. It's crazy, but
he's gonna score a bunch of runs.
He just hasn't gotten a hit to get on base to score those runs.
He's going to be one of those people that, you know, 20 years from now, when we're reminiscing about the 14-15 Royals, you know, he's going to be one of those guys that everyone brings up and like, oh man, Terrence Gore, forgot about him. And, you know, the kids who are young now and don't know the rosters backwards and forwards like we do, mm-hmm. you know, they're going to be like, who the hell's Terrence Gore? You know, the Moustakas and Hosmers, they'll know who those people are from legend, but they'll be like, who was Terrence Gore? They'll be like, let me tell you a little, tell you about Terrence Gore was.
If a particular game in Houston goes a little bit differently, he'd be remembered a lot more. But as it is, yeah, I just checked it right here. He has 11 career at-bats in the regular season, not in the postseason. The postseason, he does not have a bat. And he has 14 runs scored on those 11 at-bats. So, pretty good rate.
Wow.
Pretty good rate. 2 runs scored in the playoffs, 4 stolen bases. Didn't get used that much. I would have figured he'd be used that much, a lot more.
I know.
But, yeah. That's what it is. That's not one of my notes. That's the actual MLB app right there. So, can't blame my notes if that's wrong.
Nope. Blame the MLB.
Blame the MLB. It's always good. Always a good idea.
Indeed. So,
I don't know. The only other kind of roster thing that I would bring up is that Bubba Starling, we talked a little bit, I think it was last week or maybe the week before, where he had that oblique problem. I guess it was a lot more serious than what we had originally thought, and kind of the way it was reported originally. It was just kind of like, oh, he's out a couple days. I mean, he might miss like a month plus for that kind of thing. So, you know, definitely something that he had a problem with last year. So if it's, you know, re-aggravation, if it's a continuing problem, you know, it's probably going to mean that, you know, for one of those guys like, you know, Tyler Collins or Michael Saunders or even Ryan Goins, who I think is going to make the team, those guys need 40-man spots. Bubba Starling could go on the 60-man or 60-day DL, and that would open one of those up. If he's going to be missing that kind of time. So that's an interesting note, you know, where you get Zimmer and Bubba and that kind of disappointment just all at the same week. Like, great. Well, what else is new? Might as well stay, you know, consistent with it. So that was another kind of note in the roster thing. There was maybe a hint of a thought that maybe Bubba, if he played well, would end up having a shot at big league time right away, but not yet, not until probably May or June, if at that, you know, so that's tough. that's a bummer. But you know, I think we're both on the train that we're not really expecting anything from Bubba Starling. So whatever you get from him is, you know, what you get. So when he shows up, when he gets there, great. Until then, you know, I don't know what else to say about him.
Yeah. It's, you know, he's one of those players that I think you, because of just the natural talent and how just naturally gifted he is, you regardless of what you know, what you've seen, and how we've seen his performance over the last couple of years be less than stellar, you know, you still think, okay, at some point maybe it can just click and he'll just go off and it'll be great. And you kind of hope for that, I think, in the back of your head, at least I do. But, yeah, so this kind of sucks because, you know, I think there was a, you know, possibility that, you know, he might be able to get some playing time this year and you could at least, because I'm kind of tired of just of having that thought. I want to get Bubba Starling some playing time, see if there's any hope at all, and then just move on if there's not. You know, I kind of feel the same way about Kyle Zimmer, to be honest. I mean, Starling, this is his seventh year in the organization. It's the fifth year or sixth year for Kyle Zimmer. You know, we haven't seen anything from either of them. They were both top five picks. Yep. I want to see what they've got. And if there's, you know, we should keep holding out any hope for him at all, or if we should just say, you know, hey, peace, maybe you need a change of scenery, maybe you need something else. So, you know, unfortunately, you know, with Zimmer, that's still a possibility this season, at least. But, you know, and it's still technically a possibility with Starling, but it, mm-hmm. Who knows? Though sometimes an injury like an oblique, you know, as Starling had last year, sometimes they can kind of linger, you know, even when you think you're ready to go. Maybe you
– one little tweak.
You twist the wrong way and you have a – you know, a really hard swing where you don't make any contact and you next thing you know, it starts to hurt again. And, you know, then you got to sit out for another couple weeks while it heals. Cause that's one of those things where like a rib injury, I don't know if there's a ton that they can do that. You just kind of have to not use it as little as possible and allow the body time to heal, which is unfortunate, but, you know, that's how it goes. So, you know, is what it is. We'll see what happens with him, but you know, with the signing of John Jay, it was less of a need for him to even start anyway, or to start the team with, or start the season with the big league team anyway. So, you know, I suppose it was still possible he could have, but you know, now he'll be
not now
not doing that now. So
yeah, and Zimmer being optioned, this is his last option year. Same with Bubba when he eventually comes back. I would assume he would be optioned to Omaha. So, you know, it'll be maybe the last chance for both of them this year, which is you know, kind of crazy because, like you said, they've both been in the organization a long time. We've heard of them a long time, and we're still waiting. So, you know, guys like Chester Cuthbert, Bonifacio, even like Cam Gallagher, guys that names you recognize, they've come up and they've done something, and these two guys haven't. So, you know, this may be the last shot for him.
Yep. Which, yeah, it is. That does feel kind of...
That sucks.
Sad when you think about it. I mean, considering we've had... let's see. I mean, however many years where I've... Or one of us, I should say, at least, has put, you know, in terms of bold predictions or over-unders or whatever for the season... have involved Kyle Zimmer, especially, you know, Bubba Starling, not as much, but Zimmer definitely for probably each of the last
five years.
Yeah,
we've each been burned on that.
So, you know, it's, yeah, this could be the last year that we get burned, which, you know.
No, we're going to be doing those predictions again next week. So we should have just a moratorium that there's no Kyle Zimmer prediction and there's no random phenom relief guy that you want to see get 25 innings in the majors.
Yeah.
Like, you just can't do that.
Let's try and live in the realm of reality.
Right.
For this one.
Because you took Zimmer and Manaea, and then later, last year, I took Zimmer on that kind of thing. Yep. And it was like, well, we were all wrong each time, and never again. Not going to happen.
Never again.
I'm not going to relive indeed. That embarrassment.
But that is something to look forward to for next week. I think we're going to end the show here today. We're going to have we have a short show for you. I've been sick this week, and my wife's been sick, and my daughter's been sick. So I'm going to try and save the voice as much as possible here as we will end the show on that note. But we will be back next week, and we'll have our annual over under pancake jamboree. Where we will obviously discuss the over-under. We'll have some bold predictions for you about the season. And, you know, similar to how the last few years we've talked about how the roster has been mostly set, and this year it's been a little bit different, although it's mostly set at this point.
Yeah.
Similarly, you know, we had the same kind of, you know, Hosmer's ground ball rate, for instance, is one that, you know, we could have put up there every year as an over-under and tried to guess on that one. But, you know, that's not a question this
not
year
a thing.
For the Royals. So we might have some new ones for you that'll be interesting. We'll have to see. Let's see what's in store for this team. So be sure to check back next week. That's always a fun show, doing those and seeing what kind of bold predictions we're going to cook up for you guys. And
see how many ways we can be wrong.
Yes, absolutely. So
I'm really good at being wrong.
Yes. With that, we'll leave you. Be sure to visit our sponsors. Of course, we have Kelly's Westport Inn. If you are going out this weekend for St. Patrick's Day, Kelly's Westport Inn will be the epicenter of all your St. Patrick's Day
yeah.
goodness for
Ground Zero. Yeah.
Yes, the parade right. will go right through there, and it will be just massiveness all around Kelly's, and probably pouring into the streets. I'm sure they'll probably try and block off the streets for even beyond the parade itself. So, if you're going out, have a good time heading on down to Westport. Be sure to drop in to Kelly's. And if you, in the meantime, if you want your Royals fix outside of this show, of course, head on over to BP Kansas City. We're always pumping out content there daily. You know, Clint continues to drop great stuff on the Royals farm system and talking about possible players for the draft, because as the title of his articles say, it's never too early to talk about the draft.
Nope.
And you'd be hard-pressed to find someone.
Only 3 months away, too.
That's right. And you'd be hard-pressed to find someone who it's not their full-time job to discuss the draft who knows as much as Clint. It's really quite phenomenal about all these high school kids. I don't know how he does it.
I don't either. There's one of those years I was helping out at Pine Tar Press back in the day. This is, I don't know, 15. I don't remember what year. And, like, they asked, hey, we're just doing a couple of draft articles. And so they gave me a couple of players. And I was like, oh, God.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about these guys. I found what I could, but, I mean, it was a lot of effort just to get caught up on one or two guys. And, like, Clint could probably just rattle off, like, the first 50 picks. And it's just, like, just
and
the
he knows,
the way he does.
Like, strengths, weaknesses, you know, what
yep.
what type of, you know, arm rotation they have, if they're pitchers, whether they have, you know, a hole in their swing, if they're hitters. So, I mean, it's not just like, hey, he's read some scouting reports. Like, he's watched videos. A lot
he's
of times he's
running down their coaches.
It's insane. Yeah. It's nuts. So if you want to get a heads up on the draft, Royals have a lot of draft picks. You're going to hear a lot of new names come June. So if you're interested in getting started on that and just to hear a few names and start getting primed for that, then definitely read Clint's series on that and the articles he has. And then, you know, as always, any news or, you know, roster cuts, we've got different, you know, definitely going to always talk about that for any discussion there. So be sure to visit BP Kansas City and Kelly's Westport Inn. And thank you so much, everyone, for listening. We love you all. Couldn't do it without you. Appreciate. And as we get closer to the season, we continue to see more interaction, Twitter, email, etc. Keep it coming. We love to hear from you guys. If you have anything you want to yell at us about from what we talked on the show, or things that we don't talk about enough or whatever, let us know. We love to hear from you guys. So thank you all so much. We will be back next week with the over-under jamboree. Until then, thank you all for stopping by. See you next time. And as always, go Royals.
Thank you for listening to the Kansas City Baseball Vault. You can follow us on Twitter at KC Baseball Vault. You can also find us on Baseball Prospectus Kansas City at bpkansascity.com. You can follow BPKC on Twitter at bprokansascity. Also, you can subscribe to the podcast through iTunes, through Stitcher, or whatever podcast app you like. And if you have any questions, comments, or if you just want to say hi, send those emails to kansascitybaseballvault@gmail.com.